I figured you all sit down every Sunday and listen to me. So today I want to sit down and talk to you. And you notice by the handout that you got that it isn't the regular outline in there. And what I want to share with you today is my... Is it not on? Probably forgot to switch it on. Hang on, Ed. Let me see. Power.
On. Okay, it's on now. Is that better? And so, what I want to share with you today is probably something that I should have done before the sermon that I preached last Sunday. And we're talking about the book of Philippians, and we're walking through the book of Philippians as the basis of our text for Sunday mornings over the next several weeks. And when you look at the book of Philippians, it really doesn't start in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. It really starts in Acts chapter 16. And so that's where we want to go in some of what we're looking at today. We want to go back to Acts chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles with you, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to be looking at that text to start with. And then we'll be flipping back to Philippians chapter 1 and looking at some passages in there as well. But when we look at that, there's several things that I think are really important that we need to understand about Philippians and about the book as we talk about it. And to begin with, this was the first European congregation that was established. And I think that's very, very significant for us to understand, especially as we go through the whole book of Philippians, because oftentimes people still question today, is the God of Jesus, the Father of Jesus, is He the God of the Israelites, or is He the God for all mankind? And here in the book of Philippians, I think we see the first powerful evidences that God is the God of all mankind. And when we unpack chapter 16 of the book of Acts and understand who these first converts are and their circumstance and how that applies to the book of Philippians and what Paul has to say through the rest of the book of Philippians, I think it makes a lot of sense to us that we understand that God begins His community of people, and I'm not going to talk about the church, because I think the church in the big sense, in the true biblical sense, has been perverted over the years by the control and the legislation that man has put on it. And so what we see here in the book of Philippians is a book that speaks about how that God transcends all people and is able to save anyone, irrespective of who they are or what their circumstance is. They don't just have to be Hebrews, but they can be anyone. And we see that in Acts chapter 16. We also notice that God provides for His people in a powerful way that allows them to be able to function within the realm that He has called us, without the legislation of rules and laws imposed by men. And so, you know, we look at that, and we look at the book of Philippians, and the book of Philippians is the only book that Paul authored that does not deal with correcting a specific problem within a body of people. You know, and oftentimes when I've read through the book of Philippians, I've always been impressed by the fact that there's no specific issue that he's dealing with. And when I read the commentators, many, many of the commentators that I've read miss that point as well. And they talk about the fact that there is no purpose to the book of Philippians. There's no strategic plan. There's no identifiable thing that Paul is addressing. And really, when you think about it, and I encourage you to read the book of Philippians at least once a week. It'll only take you about 10, 15 minutes to read it. But read it at least once a week. There's only four chapters there. And understand that what Paul is doing, he is painting for us a beautiful picture of what spiritual maturity looks like. This is how mature Christians behave. And that's what he's talking about. That's the whole purpose of what Paul is writing. He's not writing to correct any problem. He's writing to encourage specifically the brethren in Philippi because of their encouragement of him. And so when we understand that, and we look at the whole picture, you know, and then we come down and start looking at the text, it helps us to understand the power of God and the majestic love that God has that really transcends everything. You know, we talk about the width and the breadth of God's love. It's higher and wider than anything. We sing songs about that. Well, here in the book of Philippians, that is unpacked for us, and we see the genuineness of God's desire for us, divorced from all of the legislation and the rules that man imposes on the church. And we see the naked reality of who God is and what he wants us to be. So, we look at this book and we understand that the church in Philippi, as we call it, was established by Paul on his second missionary journey. And he was traveling on up there and he encountered several people, and we'll look at that in a little bit in Acts chapter 16. And as we understand that, we also understand that the significance of Philippi was that it was on the Ignatian Highway, the main trade route between Byzantine in the west and Rome in the east. And so most everything passed through the city, and so it was an extremely cosmopolitan city. And so we sit down and we think about that and we think, oh wow, so God chose this city of all cities to establish one of his first groups of people that would worship him. That speaks to us about how that God transcends all types of people. And I think that's very, very important. Because when we get into the second part of what I want to talk to you about, that what I was going to speak with you about today, and we'll talk about that maybe not next week, but maybe the week after, is how that God transcends all circumstances. And when we're talking about the transcending power of God, we're talking about the fact that God has the ability to do that which is beyond what we normally think is possible. And that is the power of God. And so he does that, and he transcends all circumstances. And so the things that Paul tells us in chapter 1 specifically, and beginning in chapter 2, he tells us two things. He says that God transcends all cultures, period. There is no difference between who we are. And one of the most profound things that we need to realize from that is when we look at people and, oh, how this applies to us in our society today. You know, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they speak English or American, or whether they speak some other foreign language, it makes absolutely no difference to God. You know, this racial garbage that goes on in our country, it does not need to be perpetrated by us, by children of God. Because if we worship God, we see no difference. That God values everybody the same as he values us. And we need to treat people that way. And Paul speaks about that in Philippians. Wow. Maturity. Spiritual maturity. And so, those are two of the big, powerful lessons that we'll see. I want to speak about one of them today. What I spoke about last week was the confidence, or the source of confidence, that Paul had to develop his maturity. So, and it's the same maturity that he sees that has been developed in the Philippian church. And particularly by those who have supported him and encouraged him. And he's not talking about encouragement that just comes from material things. He's talking about encouragement that comes in prayerful support and engaging activities one with another that really encourages him in times of need. And so what we see really in this first chapter of Philippians is the transcending power of God that is capable of moving beyond, no matter who you are, no matter what your background, no matter what your culture, no matter what your language, no matter whether you're male, female, or whatever, it makes absolutely no difference. And the most important thing for us today, maybe, is that God moves beyond whatever circumstance you're in. And sometimes, you know, I think we sit down and we think, oh, you know, woe is me. Nobody knows the problems that I have. You know, we sing that song, you know, that old Negro spiritual, oh, nobody knows the trouble I have. You know, and sometimes we get on our own little pity parties and we think, oh, you know, I'm beyond help. I'm beyond redemption, or whatever we may think or say. But here in the book of Philippians, we see very, very clearly that God transcends all of that. And so we back into some of the beginnings and looking at this, and we understand that the church of Philippi is significant. It's the first European church or congregation that was established. And what is interesting to me is when we understand that this was the first European group of people established outside of the Jewish people in terms of an identifiable body of people who follow God. Okay? It's interesting to me, the people whom God chose to be the first converts. Have a look at Acts chapter 16. And Paul is on his way to Macedonia, and he stops in Philippi. And while he's there, verse 14 is where we want to pick up on this text and look at this. And while he's there, he meets up with a woman named Lydia. Now Lydia is from Thyatira, which was further south than where Philippi is, down on the coast. And she had moved up there. And now the interesting thing about Lydia, now most all of you I think understand that in this day and time that we're talking about back here in Acts 16, women were subservient to men, right? We understand that. Women had only a limited place in society. And certainly, no woman back then would have had any responsibility or authority to make choices by herself. You know? And so the things that we're talking about here date way back to the time of Jonah. When Jonah was told by God, not Jonah, I meant Noah, when Noah was told by God that, you know, he needed to preach to all people, but not everybody came to him. You know, and the gospel, the power of God, was for all people, not just for the Hebrews. And we struggle with that sometimes. But when we understand the nature of who Lydia was, and we understand her circumstances, here is a woman who had become very, very powerful. Here is a woman who had risen above the norm of that society. She wasn't constrained by the authority of men, and she certainly wasn't constrained by the authority of the religious authorities of the time. Her name was Lydia. She was a dealer in high fashion. She was a seller of purple, and so she was very, very independent and wealthy on her own. We read in the text in chapter 16 down there in about verse 15, she talks about how that she invited people into her home. Now, where on earth do you find a woman inviting people into her home without the authority of her husband in that day and time? Doesn't often happen in our day and time either, does it? Do you husbands invite people freely into your homes without consulting your wives? If you do, you've got more courage than me. You know? But it's okay for women to invite people into our homes because us as guys are generally a lot more comfortable with that. Oh, okay. Right? So just to think about it. Here's a woman who was financially independent. Here's a woman who understood who God was, and she needed some instruction, and she needed somebody to help her to understand the full value of being in Christ. And Paul and his mission efforts up into Philippi helped her to understand that. Now, when you think about this for a moment, and I want you to think about this, here's this powerful, financially independent woman in an era where women had no authority, and she wielded this power because of her wealth and because of her prestige. I mean, if she was in Paris today and she was one of the leading fashion designers, she would be recognized worldwide as an authority in and of her own self and be put on a platform or a pedestal beyond where we're at. But in that culture, she wasn't. She could have wielded her authority. But we don't read anywhere, either in Acts or in the book of Philippi, how that Lydia overly exerted who she was. But rather, she used what she had to glorify God. Now I think that's a powerful lesson in and of itself. We could preach a sermon on that just by itself. And so Lydia was one of these first converts, this rich woman who was a Gentile, who was one of the first converts in what we call the family of God. And she didn't exert herself in any adverse way at all as we look through the book. The second person that we read of in the book of Acts, if you go on down to about verse 16, was another female. But she was the totally opposite of Lydia. Because she was a slave girl. Now, we don't like to talk about slavery in our world today, do we? You know, slavery is an abhorrent thing. But interesting, if you do a word study throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, slavery was something that was relevant and prevalent throughout Scripture. And so people had to deal with slaves. We don't like to talk about it. We've removed it from our vocabulary. But think about it for a moment. What is it that you are a slave to today? Are you a slave to money? To your job? To prestige? Are you a slave to entertainment? You know, there's a whole host of things that we are enslaved to. And God has the power to remove us from that entrapment. And that's what we see here in Acts chapter 16. Because here it says, the slave girl who was owned by her masters, who was controlled by demoniac influences, as we look at the text, and as we understand the text, and yet Christ was able to offer her freedom from that. And so what I want you to understand as we look at that, as we look at the contrast between Lydia and the slave girl, is that God can use people no matter what their financial station in life is, no matter what their political platform is, no matter what their social standing is, God can use us for the same purpose. And that's to honor and glorify Him. And here the slave woman was set free from this bondage that she had from demoniac resources. And it made her masters absolutely livid. So it's nothing that is just a figment of the imagination that's happening here. You know, their whole livelihood was destroyed because this young slave girl was set free from the bondage that was over her in what she was doing. Now again, I want you to sit down and think about this. And you know, I could sit here and I could quote passage after passage about these things. But really what I want you to do is really think about what we're talking about. And understand the power of God. Because that's what's being revealed here. And right on the get-go, the first two converts in this new congregation or assembly of God's people in Philippi, this new European Gentile establishment of God's setting, are two women of contrasting values. And God was able to transcend no matter what it was that culturally held them bondage or put them in a place where we would look at them and say, oh, wow, you know, how can God deal with those people? Basic thought that I want you to have is this. Scripture teaches us that our God is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Okay? We quote that. Well, what does that mean? If God was able to transcend the cultural issues that these two women had back then, can He do that today? If not, why not? Oh, He can do that, but not in my life. Why not? Because we still like to control what we do. Instead of submitting ourselves to the Master, Jesus. In other words, becoming slaves to Him. Are we willing to sell out to God? Because that's really what He's asking us. And really, when we look at the overall picture of the book of Philippians, he's speaking to us about becoming mature people. Isn't that what maturity looks like? Maturity in Christ looks like I am sold out to God. I don't have it my way. If things don't go the way that I want them to do, I'm not going to pout and have a little hissy fit and say, you know, I'm going to do this and this, or I'm not going to do that and that. But we submit ourselves to God on a format that is consistent with His teaching, consistent with what we see in the book of Philippians. So those are the first two converts, but He doesn't end there because, you know, we all know, don't we, that any good sermon has 3 points, right? And so here's the third point that God wants to point out to us in Acts chapter 16. There's Lydia, and then there's the slave woman. And then, because of the power and the things that Paul and Silas and them were doing, you know, they attracted a lot of attention. And you know as well as I know, when you stand up for Jesus, you don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to walk around with placards saying, I'm protesting this or protesting that. You don't have to post every thought and comment you have on Facebook or Twitter or whatever else. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You just need to live your life in a way that is consistent to honoring God, and you will attract attention because people will take notice of it. And they took notice of Paul and Silas and they put them into jail. Well, Paul and Silas are in jail, and no matter what circumstance they're in, they have learned that when you honor God, God provides. And He provided in a powerful way, didn't He? He opened up the jails and took all of the locks off of these guys. Now, I understand, you know, back then in jails, these guys didn't have a choice of what cable to watch on TV. They didn't have 3 solid meals a day, or they didn't complain because their mattress wasn't soft enough. Back then, when you were thrown into jail, there was no recourse for anyone. They could have left you and just forgotten about you for months. They never provided food for you. If you didn't have anybody come in and take care of you and provide food, you would die of starvation and they wouldn't care less. Okay? The jail situation back then wasn't anything like ours today, where it's like 4-star accommodation. And so, the jailer knew and understood that his life was at stake if any of these prisoners escaped. And so he fell asleep and he woke up and he saw all of the jails were open. And he was fearful of his own life to the point where the text tells us that he was going to take his own life. And Paul and Silas said to him, no, we're still here, don't worry about it. Imagine the impact on this guy. And even more than that, they said, let us tell you about the God who took care of all of this. And then we read how that the jailer and his whole household submitted themselves to the authority of God. And so they switched allegiance to their employers, to God. And they were baptized that very night. Powerful story, isn't it? So these are the first three converts or groups of converts that came into the church in Philippi. What a mishmash of people. Right? It kind of reminds me, to some degree, of our congregation. You know, think about it. You know, we have old people. We have young people. We have mature people. We have immature people. We have males. We have females. When everybody's here, we have a splattering of nationalities that goes right across the board. We have people who speak English. We have people who speak American. We have people who speak Spanish. And we have people who speak funny languages that we can't understand sometimes. And we're forced to say, huh? Right? I mean, we are about as cosmopolitan a congregation when we're all together as any congregation that I'm aware of. We have people who've lived here a long, long time. We have people who are here for a short time because of military, because of college, and different things. And so we have a whole mishmash of people. And what's our focus? What's our purpose? We'll get into that down the road. But it's worthy of pondering, don't you think? You know, as a body of people, we can all have a purpose. We can be united in what we're trying to accomplish. Understanding and recognizing full well that there are differences between all of us. And so we look at that and we understand that God established His first congregation of His people in Philippi, the first European church, and He absolutely blew us away by the people that He chose to be in that congregation. Now here's the takeaway for me. And look at that. I didn't believe what Ida told me anyway. But here's the takeaway for that. Seeing as the time's run out and there's a lot of other things I wanted to share. But here's what I want you to know. And I want you to hear this morning. If our God is so majestic and so powerful that He can do anything, why do we not believe that He can take care of what's in my life? Why do we not believe that He can take care of the problems that I face? What's holding that up? Is that God's issue because He's not powerful enough? Or is that my issue? And if it's my issue, then my question for you this morning is simply this. What do you need to do to resolve your issue with God? How do you go about that? Over the next several weeks, as we look at the book of Philippians, we'll unpack some of that. And for me, I'm just absolutely blown away as I've studied and prayed and looked at this and try to understand it in a way that will make practical sense to you as well. So I encourage you to read the book of Philippians. Read it through over and over. Pray about it. When you find little nuggets of things in there that causes you to sit back and say, oh wow, I've never seen that before. I've never thought, you know, text me, email me, speak to me, share it with me, and let's enjoy an encounter with Philippians with the idea that we want to see what spiritual maturity really looks like. Acts 16 really is the beginning of Philippians. Last week, we spoke about the source of of Paul's power and how that is all founded on love and how that our lives are driven by love. You know, John tells us that love casts out all fear. And yet when I look at our society today, we're driven by fear more than anything else because we listen to the politicians. We listen to the rhetoric on Facebook, on Twitter, on the media, and because we see it on TV or read it on Google, we think it's true. Beloved, Satan, the enemy, has sold us a lie. our God is more powerful than all of this garbage that's out there. And we need to realize that. We march to a drumbeat that is different to the world because we are children of God. And when we look at passages like Acts 16, we look at the book of Philippi, we begin to understand the incredible power that God has. And not only the incredible power that He has, but the amazing love that He has for us, that He's willing to share that power with us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I think it is. So I want to share with you this morning that hope that we march to a drumbeat of God. We worship a God who is beyond anything this world has known. And I invite you to invite whoever you come in contact with to join us as we celebrate the life we have in Christ. John has a song that he's going to be leading us.